We are, for those of you, many of you know me, I could ask you to come to me or I can come to you. I'll come to you. How's that? I want to get within spitting distance of you, Wallace. For those of you that know us, know Bonnie and I, you know we have six children. We just had our 18th grandchild and Christmas Eve, and we're loving life. We're loving what God is doing in our lives and through our lives. I wanted to take a minute here, right here in the just in the onset this morning, and share a little testimony with you. And this comes out of a unnamed nation. Don't want to name it publicly, but it is a Muslim-dominated area. And what happened was a missionary was there and has been there for 2 years, and basically hasn't broken in, hasn't really seen much happening. And probably about, I think it's like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago maybe, we got this report. And it said this: it was he was teaching in a small church, and all of a sudden these three guys, I told the advisory team last night it was four, but it was three guys, came to him and said, we want you to disciple us. Will you teach us? And so he started meeting with them. In fact, they wanted to meet every night of the week. He said, no, we're only going to meet four. He and his wife said, we're only going to meet four nights a week. So anyway, they began to pour into these three individuals. Three individuals became itinerant evangelists, started traveling around. One of them went to a nephew's funeral in a Muslim-dominated area. He preached at the funeral service, and at the funeral service, three Muslims gave their heart to the Lord, all right? So as he preached, he gave the altar call, three Muslims came forward, and he prayed with them, and then a Muslim lady, in totally Muslim garb, only could see her eyes, came to him, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, follow me. And he was a little bit fearful as she said, follow me, because he wasn't sure what that meant, but he did follow her and followed her into down the street into another house. Should say down the street, but anyway, he followed her for a distance and walked into a house, and there were 11 other people in the house, and I'll pick it up there. 11 people, all dressed in full Islamic garb. They started to ask him very difficult questions, and after some time, one of the men declared, you know what? We're one of you. He was a former Islamic sheikh. He said that Jesus had appeared to him and also had appeared to others. Okay, so a group was formed right there. So they began meeting as a small group. The group insisted that they wanted to learn about the Holy Spirit. Now, this is, again, the missionary who's not of that country, is sent from another country. He's there. He and his wife are there. He's pouring his life into these three young men. One of these young men preaches at a funeral. Three get saved. He starts a small group. And then that small group says, we want you to teach us about the Holy Spirit. So he set up a time from 9 to 11 to teach them about the Holy Spirit. He had 8 points on his notes. He got to point 3, and then he says this. He was at point 3 out of 8, and the Holy Spirit came. He wrote, came down. And then he says this, 10 people were spirit-filled. What he did, he called the missionary, this is his disciple, again, calls the missionary, and he says, 10 people are spirit-filled, lying on the floor, I don't know what to do. There were 31 people there in the room. He said, 10 people are filled with the Spirit, they're lying on the floor, what do I do? He said, just keep preaching, keep teaching. By the end of the day, all 31 were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, again, they were there for 2 years and nothing was happening. So they sent this out as an update. Our apostolic leader in the region sent this out as an update and said, we're believing God for a motorcycle for this leader to begin meeting these churches. At that point in time, there were 7 to be able to travel around. I said, I got that. $2,000 for a motorcycle. I emailed him right back. I said, how much are we looking at? $2,000. Not a problem. I'll raise $2,000. I sent an email out to the lead elders in the USA. Within about a week and a half, we had one guy said he'll take an offering. So within a week and a half, am I talking too slow? I saw a note up here said, speak slowly earlier. Okay, good. So I'm doing all right? Yeah, all right, cool. So where was I? Oh, anyway, week and a half, we had the $2,000 raised. So I contacted the leader and the apostolic leader over the region and said, hey, I think I can raise the money for the motorcycle. And he said, okay, well, here, listen to this update. Let me read you the next update. Had an amazing report this weekend. We are up to 18 churches now. a leader, and now, and a leader was teaching in one of these groups. Over 120 showed up, interestingly, including some Catholics and Lutherans. On the last day of teaching, a mute was healed and now speaks perfectly. A woman who had been crippled from birth heard Jesus tell her to get up and walk. She left her wheelchair and walked for the first time. He couldn't finish teaching as the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he ended up on the floor. This was followed by all 120 being filled with the Spirit for the first time, all speaking in tongues. And then this is the missionary. He writes this: I couldn't make this up if I tried. LOL. The amazing thing is, none of these were prayed for. The healings and the fillings of the Holy Spirit happened spontaneously. God is moving across the globe. I'm telling you, there's so many powerful, exciting things that's happening around the globe. And what we're experiencing in some of these nations, especially those who are Muslim nations, is that Jesus is supernaturally and sovereignly appearing before people. And literally, obviously, they're saying, who are you? And Jesus, and their lives are being changed and transformed. I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to just encourage you. First of all, the Dove family is doing extremely well across the globe, truly a global family. We just had a church engage from Denmark, so currently we're in 26 nations. As I've said many times, probably every time I've been here, we're just one grain of sand on the beach called the kingdom. What God is doing in Dove is wonderful, but back in, I remember it very clearly, 90, 91, early 92, when the Lord took us to the woodshed. I say he took us to the woodshed, and he ripped our blinders off and turned us into kingdom men and women. Where prior to that, we were more concerned about what was happening with Dove. And at that point on, 90, 91, right in that season when we hit a very challenging time in leadership and a challenging time as a church, and that was before we were a movement, we were a single church that met in eight different locations. And when he did that, he literally turned us into kingdom men and women, where we became excited more about the kingdom than just what's happening in Dove. We're responsible for what's happening in Dove, but we're excited about what God's doing around the globe and in the kingdom. So I wanted to jump right into it this morning, because I got, as I was praying, even preparing before coming down here, and some this morning was like, Lord, where do you want to go? What is it that you want to say? And I just really felt clear the Lord really wanted to encourage you all this morning, that the Lord just wants to encourage you wherever you're at in Him. If you want to write anything down in your notes in the beginning, write this down: you have been born for greatness. You've been born for greatness. Each one of you have been born for greatness. In fact, I wrote down this. It says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I have been born for greatness. You need to declare it. How many of you are praying for a move of God? Is there anybody? Anybody praying for a move of God? Okay, if I ask you what a move of God would look like, I would probably get 40 different answers. Some of them would overlap, but each of you have in your mind what a move of God looked like. I was challenged, probably half a year ago, as I began, and as I was praying for a move of God, I was challenged in that regard, and I began to ask myself, what would a move of God look like? And the Holy Spirit challenged me and said, instead of praying for a move of God, why don't you live a move of God? The very things that you are praying for, the very things that you're praying would happen, why don't you begin to move in those things, begin to act in those things, and you'll begin to experience a move of God even among yourself. So what I did is I wrote on my on a little sticky note, and I have it in my home office. I have it stuck right in most important places. There's a picture of six motorcycles, each of the children when I took them a motorcycle ride. So that Bonnie fixed that up for me, and she has this beautiful, beautiful set of pictures on my wall, but right there is a sticky note that says, I am a move of God, to remind me that when I leave that house, the Spirit of God goes with me, and no matter where I'm at, the move of God is with me. Amen? Amen. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I have been born for greatness. You have been born for such a time as this. If you want a title for this message, you can write down this as a top: Living the Kingdom, Transforming Your World. It's a It's the byline of Dove International, where we're at today. It's been like that for probably the last, it's probably close to 10 years, living the kingdom, transforming our world. I remember when we spent hours just laboring over that, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to be? Dove International, and then what is the byline that goes with that? How do you want to brand us, so to speak, and that whole thing. And I remember as we began to contemplate that, what are we called to? We're called to live the kingdom, and then we're called to transform the world in which we live. Bonnie could take 10 or 15 minutes here and share her passion, her heart for her own community and how to see the kingdom of God, how to live the kingdom and transform her world. She's a part of the elementary school. It's called Release Time. And I could, again, she could really unpack this for you. But her passion, even though our youngest child is 26, our youngest child is 27, she's still involved in the grade school in fourth and fifth graders, third, somewhere in it. I know what she does, it's just I don't know all the details, all right? Hang on a minute. So she's involved in the third graders, and they go third and fourth and fifth because she has such a heart for the kingdom. I think I told you before one time. And by the way, the best examples I have are personal, all right? So it's not anything like that. It's just like these I can share with you. These aren't theory. These aren't what somebody said. Many years ago, I said, Lord, I don't want to read testimonies. I want to write testimonies. I don't want to read about what God's doing. I want to live what God's doing. I don't want to hear about him moving. Yeah, I love to read about people being healed, but I want to be able to declare, this is what I saw, this is what I experienced, this is what I'm experiencing today. By the way, we are not looking for just believers. Okay? The church, the Dove family and the kingdom is not to be made up of just believers. We're really to be made up of experiencers. The Bible is full of people who experience the kingdom on a daily basis. And he wants you to experience it on a daily basis as well. He wants you to experience his kingdom being fleshed out in your own personal life, in your own way, so that whatever you encounter, and we'll get into that here this morning, that whatever you encounter, you can see the kingdom of God brought into that. So again, as I said, Bonnie has such a heart for the kingdom being released in her life and through her life. For such a time as this, you've been born. And that was one of the directions I thought about going as I was praying. I could go that direction just to unpack that for you. Think of this. In all of history, God chose you to be born here for this season. In all of history. You could have been born in a Sudan. You could have been born in Serbia. You could have been born in Bulgaria. You could have been born in Hawaii too. But you could have been born anywhere. You could have been born in Polynesia. You could have been born anywhere. But God chose for you to be born and to place you right here in Broadlands Community Church in Ashburn for such a time as this. These are not happenstance things. These are not, well, I moved here because of a job. You're here because God sovereignly orchestrated things and brought you here. The people that you will meet tomorrow are not happenstance. I can't tell you the number of times that I've sat on a plane or I've been with somebody. In fact, it was only a few weeks ago, I was coming out of the airport and I got in the van to take me back to the parking lot. And as we went past, there's one, two, three, five terminals we went past. And he picked me up and then he missed at least one other one. We got talking, and then all of a sudden he goes, oh, I was supposed to pick somebody up at Terminal D. Oops. Gee, I hope I don't get in trouble. And I said, well, that was just so we could spend more time together. Long story short, as we went back to the big parking lot, and as we were talking, I began just saying, do you have any kind of spiritual background? That's my go-to question. And as we began to talk and we began to share, he said, you know what? My last passenger last night was a pastor. My first passenger tonight is a pastor. Do you think God is trying to say something to me? Absolutely. He went on to share that he grew up in the church, but he had walked away from God. He wasn't living the way he should live. He should be living. And right there in the van, in the parking lot, when he missed the other traveler, we prayed together for him to rededicate his heart to the Lord. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit orchestrates this stuff. He sets it up. Again, I can't tell you the amount of times where people say, do you think the Holy Spirit? Do you think God did this? Do you think there's something to this that you're sitting here? I can give you 3, 4, 5 examples out of airplanes. Two weeks ago, we were in a restaurant in Ohio, and as we often do, Bonnie and I have adopted I want to call it a habit, but it's really kind of like that. It's just that we just purposefully do it when the waitress is done or waiter is done. In fact, we did it the other night when we went out to eat, took her out for her birthday. Happy birthday, honey. Thursday was her birthday, right? Yeah. sorry. We asked them, we're going to pray for our food. Is there anything we can pray for you? We've had waitresses come and sit down with us. We've had waitresses extend their hands. We've had waitresses say, no, nothing. I've had a waitress who said, I'll be right back. I want to get this in, but I want you to pray with me. And they came back. Last 3 weeks ago, I was with a group of people and a number of leaders, and I asked the waitress the same question. She said, could you pray for me? I have fibromyalgia, and my back is killing me, and I'm not sure I can even make it through my shift. And I said, could we pray for you now? She said, well, sure. I said, could we gather around you? This is in a restaurant. Could we gather around you? Sure. Could we lay hands on your back? In fact, I asked one of the ladies, I said, would you allow her to lay her hand on your back? Because you have to be cautious and all this. So she said, yes. She laid her hand on her back. I said, my hand on her hand. And three of us, I had two of the other guys pray, one lady and another guy pray. And at the end, I said, how do you feel? She said, my back pain's gone. My back pain. I'm telling you, God orchestrates this stuff and gives you the opportunity to live the kingdom and transform your world. That's the point I want to drive home to you this morning. If you catch nothing out of anything I'm saying today, know this, that God has placed you here for such a time as this. You're an answer to prayer. Each one of you are an answer to prayer. There are people currently, and there have been people before you that have been crying out to the Lord for a move of God here in Ashburn. Listen, I'm telling you, you might have the center of internet traffic going through here, but there's also a move of God that God wants to bring through here. Amen? Amen. Talking to the right group? Amen. Good. Excellent. I wrote this down. Listen, if your life is boring, you're not living to your full potential. If your life is boring, there is something you're missing. Because I'm telling you, Bonnie and I have been in the kingdom for many years, and you can say many things about my life, but one of the things you cannot say is it's boring. Our life is not boring. How about it, honey? It has never been boring. I'll tell you what, our life is it's not always fun, but it is exciting. It's not always easy, but it is exciting. There have been times where we've crawled in bed at night and literally cried and hugged each other and says, I don't know how we're going to get through this, but I know the Lord's going to take us through this, so I don't want to paint a picture that's saying it's always easy or that it's always fun. But the Lord will get us through. The Lord will take you through. You're in a season right now of experiencing just His. And by the way, worship team, thank you. There is just a real spirit. When I walked through these doors this morning, I don't know how to describe it, except as I walked right over here in this area, tears began to just form in my eyes as I just had a passion and compassion for you as a congregation, for you as a body of believers, a desire, a passion to see every seat filled in this place and beyond, a desire. And you are the key to that, you and the Holy Spirit. You remember last time I was here and I gave you a piece to a puzzle? Anybody remember that? Okay. Do you remember what I said the most important piece is? Did you remember that piece? The most important piece of a puzzle is the one that's not there. The one you lost. That's the one that causes you to rip the sofa apart, tear out the cushions, look underneath the table. It's that one that's not there. Each of you play an important role in what God has for Broadlands Community Church. Each of you play an important role of His kingdom being expressed and expanded throughout here in Ashburn and beyond. To do that, you have to accept who God has created you to be. Dale Mayer says it this way: we must accept who God has created us to be before we can step into the greatness He has for us. Last night at Z, advisory team was together. I was praying for each of the men there, and there was a specific there was a specific gifting, a specific anointing on each of their lives. I'm telling you, when you have to accept who God's created you to be before you can step into the fullness of who He is. So sometimes we have a tendency of thinking things like, well, unless I know the Bible as good as Wallace does, then I can't really be great. And unless I have the gift of hospitality like Linda does, well, then I really can't be great. Unless I can play the drums like Rick does, you know, I really can't be great. So, but I'm the point is this, is God has created you a specific way. It's taken Bonnie and I years pre, and it's been a long time since we've been able to do this, but coming to the place, even in my leadership style, to get to the place where I'm comfortable in who I am and the way I lead, which is different than some of my colleagues, but it's who I am and it's the way God has created me. Now, let me say this, is God wants to sanctify it. God wants me to grow. God wants me to change when I need to change. But He created me a specific way because there are certain things that I can do that others can't do. God has created Bonnie a specific way because she carries something that's part of the heart of God, and she has to be confident and secure in who she is so that she can flesh out and be who God has created her to be. I'm telling you, God has called you to greatness, and you can't compare yourself to anybody else. Amen. He's called you to greatness. You have to accept who He's created you to be before you can step into the call that He has for your life. You are His image bearer. Your strengths, your gifts, your abilities, all those are the way God has wired you to bring, to paint that picture, to be that puzzle coming together to see Broadlands Community Church be who Broadlands Community Church is called to be. Let me give you a verse that I'm sure Wallace has taught over the years, probably 50 times at least, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life and that you would have it abundantly. Abundantly. Listen, I want you to know this, your abundant life is not for you. Let me put it this way, not just for you. The abundance that God has called you to, and I'm not talking just finances, but the abundant life that God has called you to is not just for you, it's for those around you. He has created you and desires to give you a life of abundance, a life of excitement, a life of anticipation, so that it goes beyond you. I don't remember if I told you this story or not. I may have. I apologize. But it was just one of those times where the Holy Spirit just really impacted upon me the power that we carry in people's lives. I was home studying one day, and it was during the week. It was a Wednesday. I remember Wednesday morning, and there was a knock at our door. Bonnie was at that release time thing. There was a knock at our door, and I opened the door, and I sat there really deciding whether I wanted to open the door, because on a Wednesday morning, it's either a salesman or a Jehovah Witness, and I really don't want to talk to either. It could be a Boy Scout. It's somebody selling something. But as I was ready to not do it, the Holy Spirit said, you know, you are home. That's true, I am. Okay. So I was convicted by my integrity, ran up, ripped open the door. I yanked open the door, and I looked at him, a man was there, and I said, who are you? What do you got? Because I was in a hurry. He was like, He goes, well, I'm a Jehovah Witness. Okay. And he said, and I forget the question he asked me. And again, if I told you this story, I apologize. But he asked me I forget what question he asked me. But I just went on a roll, man. It was just like, blah! He was like, I am so excited about Jesus Christ. He has done so much for me. My wife and I were married 44 years at that point in time. We're married. We're seeing lives change. We're working with marriages. It is so exciting what Jesus has done. I'm part of a church that's global, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking. And then I end, and he goes, wow. I wish I could be like that. Now, when's the last time you heard a Jehovah Witness tell you, I wish I could be like that? I was totally taken off guard. I didn't know how to respond. Because I'm used to the argument, well, this is part of 144,000, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And they usually try and engage you in debate or arguing. And he's saying, I wish I could be like you. And I was just like, you can. Okay, it just totally took me off guard. Okay, and then he started to share a little bit. I said, wait, stop. Stop right there. I said, back up. You said that you wish you could be like me. What did you mean? He said, well, it's all over you. It's in the way you talk, it's the way you look,
There's a sense of excitement. It's very real. I just wish I could have that. I said, you can. You can have that. And I talked to him about Jesus just very briefly, and then he said this. He said, look, you're busy. I have to go, but I do have some material here I could give you. I said, look, you and I both know I don't want that. He said, yeah, you're right. I understand. Listen, the point I'm trying to make is this. You can have an impact wherever you are, no matter who you're connecting or talking to. God has placed you sovereignly. I wish, usually they don't let you, but I so wish I would have been able to pray with him. After he left, I'm like, dummy, you didn't even ask him to pray. You could have prayed with him. And so Bonnie and I prayed that he'd come back, but he didn't come back. Probably put a check mark, don't go to that house. But anyway, can you tell I'm excited this morning? Okay, good. Then we're connecting. All right. You may never be president, governor, mayor, or any kind of influential office, but you can leave an impact. The world around you is wet cement, and it's waiting for you to leave an impact. Bonnie and I took a couple who was part of our small group that went to be part of a church plant, and we commissioned them out, and we still stay connected with them probably once a year. In fact, it's been almost 2 years, year and a half, since we connected with them the last time. But the last time we were with them, we took them out for ice cream. And they had just put an associate pastor on staff in this new church plant, it's probably 3 years old now. And they just put this individual on staff. And I said, oh, I know. Let's call him John. I said, I know John. He said, yeah. They said, yeah, we know. I said, well, how would you know that I know John? Well, when we were getting to know him, he said this. He said, many years ago, he was going through a really rough patch in his life, and Ron Meyer was there for him. Listen, you want to impact people's lives? I got two words for you. Here it is. Write them down. Show up.